Jamie, if you want to sit over here, I can move back. Okay.
Put that right there so you can catch everything you say.
All right. Well, as we all remember, the series is talking about putting our focus in the right place, making sure that we're not focusing on whether it's earthly things, making sure that God remains our focus no matter what we do, so that we don't end up creating idols where people don't normally think of idols. And whether it's, and this today is about our appearance. Now, I am going to just put it out there right now. I am not saying certain things are bad, and I will get to that in just a minute. But everywhere you look, you are actually, I mean, you look on TV, you look on the computer, you read magazines, everything is talking about our appearance. Whether it's how to look younger, how to appear firmer, lift this, plump that, inject this, smooth this, you know, remove sags, firm up bags, and tighten our abs. Everything is all about the outward appearance. And like I said, we see it in walking in the mall, on the internet, magazines, television. And yes, I want to look attractive for my husband. And he wants to look attractive to me. But is there a line that we can cross? Can you go too far in this? How much is too much? Where do you start? Where do you stop? I am not saying there's anything wrong with powdering your nose, putting on a touch of lipstick. I don't think that's wrong. Or else I wouldn't be in the business I am. But when you go from just the powdering your nose to the laser hair removal, to the lip injections, to the lips and firming up and all kinds of other stuff, at what point do you cross the line to taking it too far? Or also, there are husbands who want their wives to do these things. Why has it gone too far? Because now you're putting your health at risk. Anytime you go under anesthetic, as Tammy knows, it's a health risk. So, I'm not talking about medical necessity in the reconstruction or in the surgery. If it's a medical necessity, yes, by all means. That's between you and your doctors and your family. What I'm talking about is the non-medical necessity, the elective surgery. So, do y'all think there's a line to be crossed? Do you think taking things too far?
Yeah.
Now, let's look at Romans 12. And I've got on your thing verse 1, but I want to read verses 1 and 2.
Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect. So what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God?
Okay. So what is this, what are these two verses telling us? What are the two verses telling us? In your own words.
Not to be like the world. To use our bodies in the service of God. And know that that is what's important.
Okay. let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:13. Ms. Doris, would you like to read it?
Meat for the belly and the belly for the meat. God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body.
What is this verse telling us?
It's telling us that our body is for God. It's all right to have food, but is that going to help our souls?
And that God's going to do away with the body.
That's right.
Okay. I also wanted to jump up to verse 12. And it says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. And that's kind of keeping focus in with where our focus lies, not being mastered and putting our concentration on serving God and doing His will. Now, Genesis 1:26, we all pretty much know what it says, but I want to read it anyway. Can you also read 27, please?
God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them.
Okay. So who's our creator?
God.
What was made in His image is our spirit, not our bodies. Our body is not what He created in His image. God doesn't have a body.
Right.
So what is created in His image is our spirit, our inner man.
Okay.
So.
Yes. But there was also a flesh and bones that He did create.
Yes. I'm not
saying
that. Okay. I'm just saying that when we say, we have to be careful not to say what we do with our body is because we're made in the image of God. It's because that's not what's made in the image of God.
No.
If we use our body rightly because God made it, but that's not what He made it.
Right.
Just ignore your
body. No, my point was He still created us. Our inner body is in His image, but He still created our outer body. Now, if we're unhappy with our outer body, and if we, by choice, choose to have elective surgeries to change that outer body, does God view that as disfiguring His creation? That's for discussion. Because that's something that I've often thought, so I want feedback.
I'm the only one talking. Somebody back there needs to say something.
I'm looking at everybody. I won't pop in.
Well,
okay, the question is, okay, God created us. God created our outer body. Now, if we choose to have things enhanced, lifted, tucked, sucked, changed about that outer body, does God view that as disfiguring something that He created?
How's it different with ears and ears?
Exactly.
No.
No, nobody said that. But exactly, I mean, this is things that I've thought of.
What's the difference in that and putting on makeup? You're changing the appearance. You may not be altering it permanently, but you are changing your appearance. And there are things that people do to, you know, such as enhancing their eyes. And
y'all should be thankful I've done
makeup. Now, you know, Ralph Robinson had an eye because
you can see his eyelids were hanging down his eyes. Okay, now that was probably a medical necessity.
No, it wasn't a medical necessity. He could have survived the rest of his life with that.
Not being able to see
as well.
Okay.
He could see.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't like he was totally blind, but he did not see as well. So he chose to do that. The doctor, it wasn't something the doctor said you have to do or you're going to go blind. It was a choice.
He was elected.
It was elected. Okay.
And there's a lot of children that have disfigurement. They're born with disfigurement.
Mm-hmm.
They can survive and function in this world just perfectly fine the way God created them, if we look at it that way.
Okay.
So, as a parent, should I not do something to help my child? It's strictly an appearance thing. They can eat fine, they can see fine, but they are disfigured.
Okay.
Should I not do anything to change that because that's the way God created them?
It goes to motivation. You know,
right.
You want a breast augmentation because you want to be sexy and attractive as a man or to men. You know, that's I think that's different than, you know, something like you're talking about.
Exactly. And that's kind of where I wanted us to, that's kind of the realm, is our, why are we doing this? What's in our heart at the time that we're doing this and making this decision?
You know, some people do one surgery after another, just fix it, trying to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're reaching for the unattainable.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to examine your heart, and like the whole focus of your series here is if you make an idol of appearance, then, you know, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even have to be surgery. There are people that I know that's been hundreds and thousands of dollars on creams and the magic potions, and you got to take all the right vitamins and just to stay young. What happened to growing old gracefully and growing old in the way that some of the verses that we're probably going to look at on the next question that really should be our focus? People don't have, you know, you talk to people and you're trying to study the scriptures with them, well, they don't have money for Bible study aids. They don't have money to. I've had people actually tell us, I don't have money to buy a good study Bible. But you look around their home, of course, they got all the gadgets and they got all this. And so we're mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
We put the emphasis on the physical rather than on what God created in His image, mm-hmm. the spiritual.
Well, I know Jamie was talking about how, you know, parents of the children, as you taught, some of them were on welfare and they were out getting their fingernails done,
mm-hmm.
and pedicures and makeup, and they don't have. You know, it's rather than send that on their child or, you know, to help their child or whatever, they're out there making themselves look good.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think that some people begin to feel like their self-worth is all wrapped up in how they look, which, you know, goes into that, you know, if you try to focus on the inward person, you know, try to feel good about yourself there.
I think you're so right, especially in this society when there's so much emphasis placed on looks and thin bodies and, you know, gorgeous hair and stuff like that. And I think it's real easy to buy into that. You know, I think we have to fight for that.
Because it's everywhere.
Fight that's focused yep. on the enemy.
Everywhere. And then, you know, you've got, you're bringing up your little girls and they're looking at all this and they have to be a certain size and they have to look like this.
There's a few girls that have a Barbie doll figure.
Exactly.
Or women.
Yeah. You know, when I'm our children, like if they're disfigured, as a parent, I would try to do whatever I could to fix that, because that's not only going to affect their appearance, it's going to affect how they feel about themselves and other people talking to them and how they, you know, a lot of mental illness.
Their mental self-image, because with growing up, people are going yeah. to make fun of them because children can be cruel.
But you're not talking about breast.
Oh,
no,
I'm
not.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Miss Doris, you were wanting to say something.
Yes, I had a niece. She's dead now. She died with breast cancer. But her daughter was 12 years old, and because she wasn't developing like she thought she should, she went and had an operation on her for her daughter on her breast, and it caused her daughter to have health problems the rest of her life.
12 years old?
Yes, ma'am. She sure did.
You didn't have problems. Well, you know, the internet can be a never-ending dangerous place. I was Googling again, and I came up with 2008 statistics for cosmetic surgery for females. Now, there's all kinds of breast augmentations, not breast implant removals because things went wrong, but to get the breast implant. For 2008, 307,230 surgeries were done.
Where?
In the United States.
American Society of Plastic Surgeons. Eyelid surgery, I guess, to have lips.
Yes, they have that right here.
I've seen it. 190,000. Liposuction, 218,000 to have stuff sucked out of you. Nose reshaping, 204,000. Tummy tucks, 116,000. A total cost, those are just the big numbers. There's several more in here. But total cosmetic surgical procedures, 1,448,000. Not including the minimal invasive procedures. Now you have 88,000 were reconstructed. There were problems, obviously, you know, medical reconstructive necessity. So you have 88,000 of that. So you take that out of the 1.4 million, and that leaves you with 1.3 million elective surgeries. Again, not including the minimal invasive. That's a lot of people changing their appearance because they didn't like something about it. Now, break it down. 13 to 19-year-olds. 13-year-old kids. And these are the, obviously the parents are paying for this. 13 to 19-year-old breast augmentation. Almost 9,000 procedures for 13 to 19-year-olds. I'm sure a lot of it would be 18 to 19-year-olds, I would hope. Botox injections, 11,600.
Is this still 13 to 19?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Who are they injecting?
I have no clue. They like the big, puffy lips. I guess that's an in thing now. So, I thought those were pretty interesting numbers that I wanted to share.
Huh?
No, we did not talk about hair dye. We didn't talk about hair dye.
Or what? Or perms.
Or perms, no. We didn't talk about hair dye.
I just wondered if any of that stuff was okay.
You know, well, I told him, you know, you weren't here, but I did tell him I didn't think there was anything wrong with powdering your nose and lipsticks and all of that, or I'd be out of business.
Something else you didn't think about, that's people with tattoos. That's a thing now.
Yes, tattoos are changing. I don't know if it's changing or adding to the appearance.
It definitely changes it when they're all
locked
up and you can't even, you know, look like a, I don't know what road map on.
And again, back to the heart and why you're getting them. If you're doing it out of rebellion, there's a definite problem.
Yeah.
Well, they would say they're not doing it out of rebellion.
It is a style thing.
Art.
But it's also, I can tell you this, I don't have any, but I can tell you, just from talking with my husband, they become addictive. So you have to be very careful with that.
Well, that's evident. When you see people that get one and then the next, you know, before long, they're just, they're covered every piece. And it's not just the, what you see in freak shows, as they used to call them anymore. It's all the athletes. You know, their arms and their necks.
Yeah,
their neck.
Yeah.
The basketball guys, is where you see their legs, they're all, so it has to be.
There's something, I don't know if it's the dye or the feeling while it's happening, but I've known too many people who get them, including my husband, who says it's an addictive thing, and you have to be very careful with that.
They say it's the feeling. They like it.
There's a feeling when they're doing the eating.
Although it hurts, but they like it. Oh. And then the women after these, they're doing the same thing. It's just, it's horrible.
Well, the same thing with the piercings. You know, it was one pierced ear. Well, now they get two, and then they get five, and then they're all over, and then the tongue, and the eyes, and the nose, and the belly, and
the everything else that you can that you don't even want to imagine. They're getting pierced.
Yes.
Let's list some other verses that make reference to our image and appearance. I got some, but I want to see what y'all got.
Before we go further, so are we disfiguring God's creation? So, I mean, you know, we list some of the things that we disfigure, but God is not pleased with that. You know, like if we want a boob job because we want big boobs. We have boobs, they may be small, but we want them bigger, so we go do this and that. He's
displeased
with that. Ladies,
y'all
think he's
displeased
with
what else?
Messing with stuff.
I think God looks at our heart, like Lauren said. Why are you doing what you're doing? What is the reason behind it? The same thing with makeup. Why are you wearing so much makeup? Why are you doing all the piercing? And so, it's not for me, I don't think, to sit and judge on somebody and say that they're going to go to hell if they get a boob job. That's not my department, right?
Why they did it.
I think we need to look at the verses that we're going to be looking at now and try to decide from that what they should be doing.
Exactly. I had one of the things, a couple of things that I have, and that y'all can jump in with y'all, is I want to go to Genesis 39:6. Talking about Joseph. And he's Potiphar's. He's in Potiphar's house at this time. At the end of the verse, at the end of verse 6, it says, "Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance." So we're talking about our image and our appearance. And being handsome and being beautiful is the image that everybody is portraying on the TV and the internet and the ads. You have to look a certain way. Well, Joseph was that. And it didn't do him any favors with Potiphar's wife. Got him into a whole lot of trouble because he was handsome and because he wouldn't, and she was attracted to him, and he wouldn't do what she wanted him to do. And then, you know, as we talked last week, that how Rachel was beautiful. She was beautiful in appearance, and Jacob loved her more than Leah, but that did not make her happy. So doing all of these changes to look better and make yourself happy and feel better goes back to, again, your heart, and is that really going to make you happy and feel better, because you see all the time in the news, and I know people personally who have had these surgeries, and they came out worse than before they went in because things got messed up. So they still weren't any happier. In fact, they probably felt worse.
If they were sitting and talking to somebody who's a truly beautiful person, I think they would find that being gorgeous or handsome is not all it's cracked up to be.
That's right.
It puts a lot of pressure on them, and they also, it makes a lot, most people don't even look past the outside, and they are only valued for their looks, and that becomes a burden to people like that, because nobody ever looks at, you know, whether they have any sense or not. You know, the people that are naturally like that, so I'm talking about, you know, why spend all this money and effort, time, which, you know, is no guarantee.
Right.
For something that's, you know, such a fleeting thing anyway. You know, we're all going to get old. And even when you're gorgeous, when you're young, it sags.
Exactly. Gravity takes hold. Even if there's not much there, gravity still takes hold.
Your point is,
and it's not going to move.
Look, if I was handsome, Saul was considered handsome. His shoulders and everybody else didn't do him much good either.
Right.
So it's not necessarily an asset. It's not a character asset for sure. It's not a, it has nothing to do with the character.
So those were a couple of the ones that I had. Who else had something?
I think that if we're striving to be godly women, we're going to do what we can to present our bodies as an attractive thing. Even though we may not be skinny, we may not fit. But if we're striving to serve God, we know what we need to do, and we're going to do that. And that's going to help us stay away from some of the things that other people are doing, you know, like surgeries and things like that. But I think if we're really striving to be godly women, we're going to know what we need to do. I mean, we all want to be nice looking. We all want to be pretty for our husbands. But I think that if we have the inward heart that we need to have, we're going to do that.
Anybody else?
I had a couple of verses that came to mind that deals with women and their adornment and what God wants us to adorn ourselves with and what our adornment should be. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 through 10.
Y'all didn't hear that in the back. 1 Timothy 2, 9 through 10. Okay.
She knows to get by is by her looks. And her mother doesn't want that way. And so, but God wants our good works to be our adornment. And when we get so caught up in what our body looks like, David, when God chose David, it says he was a handsome man. But the reason God chose David was because he was a man after God's own heart. God looks at the heart, and that's what he wants us to adorn and to make ourselves beautiful. The other passage, and one other passage I had was, and it says a lot of the same thing, 1 Peter 3, verse 2 through 5. So, to me, the things we're talking about are trying to adorn ourselves, whether it be with makeup or with
surgeries or whatever, we're trying to make our adornment all outward. And these passages tell us that's not what it is. So if you want to read that fine or have to read it, whatever.
Don, had alluded to this, and 1 Samuel 16:7, you know, we're just talking about David, and that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. You know, that has to do with the age-old warfare between flesh and spirit. And if we can remember that God looks at the heart, that the spirit is what's important in how we want it, right? So then we're not going to be that much worried about our outside.
Okay, so both of y'all have just stomped all over one of my points towards the end of the y'all. Okay. That's okay. I know, and that's great. That's great. So anybody else have any other verses they looked at?
No, you go first. That's it. I just had John 7:24.
What does that say?
Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Actually, that's probably not physical appearance. No, I think that. Skip that. Sorry. Well, Proverbs 31 comes to mind for me. No matter how you take Proverbs 31, whether it's of the frugal woman, you've got the coupons and all that, or whether you take it as the woman who's the clothing she's making is making everybody around her better. The perfect woman, or the woman that every man should want to have, there's nothing in there about her making her body beautiful. And now it says she's dressed, she dresses well, but depending on what you think that means. But even if you think it means that she wears beautiful clothing and expensive clothing, that's just a minuscule part of what's said about her. It's the thing that she does. And so we as women need to be very careful not to get wrapped up in, I've got to be the most beautiful person everywhere I go. Because how many of us can sit in this audience and think of women that, as far as the world is concerned, would be considered very either overweight or very plain or not pretty at all. But when you get to know them, you wish you got a church full of them instead of the ones out there that think they're the most gorgeous, you know, they're God's gift to men, or the men that think they're God's gift to them, as far as that goes. And so I caution my children sometimes, even when they were younger, they'd see somebody and say, "This girl, wait, you don't know that person. Don't judge them by what you see. You have no idea what's in that person's heart. Just because they're overweight doesn't mean there's one thing wrong with them."
Right.
And so, but I think we do that sometimes. We look at people, and we do the same thing with ourselves. Mm-hmm. But God said that it's not what we put on, but it's the heart. And for me, being a meek and quiet spirit sometimes is a, you know, it's a lot easier to put on makeup and put on some, cover the blemishes and put the perm in your hair and curl it, and you may look okay to the world, but then when you open your mouth, mm-hmm. you destroy, you know, you become very ugly,
yeah.
even though you may look, think you look beautiful. And so that's the part we need to be so careful.
When we first held, those of us that have had babies and those of us that have held newborn babies, when we first held our babies in our arms, I don't know about y'all, but the first thing I do is I count fingers, you count toes, and you look at them, and you could have seen a million babies up to that point, but that one baby is the most beautiful baby you've ever laid your eyes on. And, you know, you thank God for giving you this perfect, precious gift. Perfect. Till they learn to walk and talk. Just kidding. But they are perfect in your sight. So, God, you know, back to Genesis, when God created, it was good. Does God, as we age, does God no longer see our appearance as being perfect?
No.
And 1 Samuel 16:7 tells us that the Lord does not look at our outward appearance. the Lord looks at our hearts. We could have two noses and six eyes, but the Lord's going to look at our heart and what's on the inside to make us beautiful. And that's what we need to work on. That's the reconstructive surgery that needs to happen when we realize that our heart is starting to crumble and age and not be as loving as it used to be. Because the world can be a cynical place, and we can start buying into that, because cynicism with our heart is the same thing as the ugly duckling turning into the graceful swan. We need to keep a focus on working with our heart, because our appearance doesn't have anything to do with us getting into heaven. And our heart does, and our behavior as godly Christian women and serving the Lord and keeping that as our focus and not our appearance is what is going to keep us on that narrow path.
I'm afraid most of us, though, would rather have a compliment about our outward appearance than have someone tell us how godly we are. Because we spend, maybe not women in this audience, but most people are more concerned about if the world thinks they're beautiful outwardly than if they, because they don't spend the time. You can tell because they don't still spend time in Bible study. We're not going to get this inward beauty that God so desires us to have if we don't spend time. We know how much time it takes to put on makeup and curl our hair and be sure our clothes look just right and all that. In comparison, how much time do we spend in Bible study, in prayer?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, Miss Pat, you were right. I thought I was going to be done with this lesson and the next. I really do appreciate everybody's comments and help in these lessons and doing the lessons and adding. Yes?
I do have a question because I think in the church, most of our husbands are not going to be the kind of guy that wants you to go get a boob job or, you know, I think our men are more of the other way. Like they're watching out for our spiritual side so much that sometimes I've heard of men putting like restrictions on their wives as far as their physical appearance goes. And how do we as women, Christian women who are trying to be submissive to our husbands, how can you explain to them that it is important? Yes, you want to be Christian and you want to be godly, but it's also important to you to look nice to the world. Like, for instance, like what if a man says, I don't want you dyeing your hair because dyeing your hair is vain. And you're getting gray, and you're getting gray early. And so what do you do? What do you tell your husband? You know, how can you be submissive, but tell your husband, this is very important to me, you know, and you've tried, maybe you've already tried, and he's still like, no, put my foot down on this, you may not dye your hair. So when when you have a Christian husband who's, you know, he's watching out for your soul, but you feel like what he's saying is, you know, very restrictive and it hurts, you know, it's hurtful to you. What do you do?
I'll let y'all jump in just a second because y'all may tell me I'm wrong. But I would, the one good thing is that communication is there. Y'all are talking about this. I'm trying to read my husband's mind in this process. Letting him know that it was important to me to do something, whether it's dyeing my hair, makeup, whatever, jewelry, because there's restrictions on all of that. I've known men who do that. That it was important to me for me and not so much for the world. He may think a little more in talking about that. But again, being in subjection, if he says, no, I love you just the way you are, gray, wrinkled, sagging, then I will submit to that request. Now, y'all jump in.
Well, if that lady wants, you know, if it's affecting her, you know, because she don't want to be being young, because I know a young lady. She started grade real early, like in the teenage, and, you know, and she started dyeing her hair, you know. And when you dye so much, you know, anyway, it may be affecting her. And whether the husband wants you not to do it, but deep down in your heart, you want to do it, you know, for your sake. You
we know. Still have to be in subjection to our husbands.
Even if
we don't agree with their decision. Lauren?
I was going to say that my husband wasn't crazy about me dyeing my hair. He just thought it was silly. But he understood why I wanted to. He never said I couldn't. And, you know, I don't feel like I was out of subjection doing it because, you know, I had all kinds of excuses. That my hair's thin, I look bald, I don't have any color in my face, you know. He knew that it made me feel better, so he didn't put any restrictions on that. You know?
But it was for you, not for the world.
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
I mean, there's too many other issues going on here that dying my hair makes sense. I didn't want to look bald.
Right.
There is no except clause that I can find in the scriptures for disobeying, except one, and that's it causes you to disobey God. So you have the right to talk to him as much as you can without it affecting your relationship and causing a problem in your relationship. Sometimes men talk to their wives about things, especially in the areas of dress that women do not agree with. But they don't understand that their husband is looking at it from a man's perspective. And they hear the men talk in the workplace and those kind of things. So in some areas, now maybe with dyeing your hair or whatever, or wearing makeup, but that may just be you don't want to spend the money. I don't know. But whatever it is, you don't have the right to just go and do it anyway. But there are some areas that I know personally here and in other places that men and women have disagreed about, that the woman, even though she was a godly woman, never really listened to her husband's reasons. Because he knew, especially with dress, he knows how other men look at it. Now, he tries hard not to look at other women that way, dressed that way, because he's a godly man. But he still knows, as a man, how it affects. And how it especially affects worldly men who want to look, who want to see. And so sometimes when we have disagreements with our husband, rather than just trying to get a point across as to what we want, truly listen to them and try to understand. And so that may make the submission easier, if we can truly understand where they're coming from. Whether it be, I don't want you to dye your hair, or whatever. Now, if he's just being selfish, that's going to affect your relationship. But that does not give you the right to be selfish and withhold yourself from him or cause a bad problem in your marriage. Just because he's being selfish doesn't make it right for you to be selfish. When I stand before God, I'm going to be judged whether or not I was submissive to my husband as a meek and quiet spirit, as Sarah is used as an example. So that makes me have to go back and study, see what kind of woman Sarah was. It doesn't mean she was mean in mouth and never said anything. She got all in trouble with Hagar. Now, that was all her idea. But
I know between what, you know, what are personal decisions and what are things that he has the right to have jurisdiction over, say, like, you know, what brand make it wear or something. How do you determine that?
Because God,
how you wear your hair, say whether you wear it short, curly, or long, straight, you know that.
You should want to try to do what your husband
wants. I agree
with
that 100%.
And if he just quite says, you're not getting a haircut, I want it long, show me a verse that says, well, that's a personal choice. That this is my body and I can do with it what I want. I know of no verse that gives any exception except for causing you to sin. That if your husband says no or yes, whatever, that you have the right to say, I'm not going to do that. This is my body and I'm going to do with it what I want.
Okay, wait. Back to what you were saying a few minutes ago. When you made a comment about guys, paraphrasing you, but there are guys that just don't get, they don't understand why I've got some gray hairs and it's bothering me, and I'm premature gray. So back to the men in the workplace and how it looks on the dress, and they talk and they do the locker room talk, and he happens to hear it. He's not involved in it, but he does hear it and how they think. But does he, in your discussions with him, does he know deep down why this bothers you? You know, because guys don't get it. They don't care if they get old. Graying men are distinguished. Graying women are old. They don't get the difference. And so I've had to talk to Craig about different things, about, okay, it's one way for a guy, but for women, this is truly how it makes me feel, and all of that. Back to the communication. So maybe he hasn't gotten that yet. On how the differences between the two, and that would be another communication discussion that I would have without nagging and being out of subjection. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, you.
I don't disagree. No, I just decided my point one more time.
Yes.
Well, I was just thinking one thing that might help is, even if you have a hard time doing what he asked, go ahead and do what he asked. And, you know, still being able to discuss it. I think a lot of people here know that Doug does not like real short hair. When I got married, I always wore my hair very short. And so when we got married, he didn't want it real short. Now, it's just been cut, so it's kind of short now. But, you know, over the years, I tried to wear it longer. And I don't remember ever trying to talk him into, you know, I want to wear my hair really, really short. But over the years, he's relaxed that. Sometimes I get it cut, and, you know, they cut more than you ask them to, and that happens. And so, you know, I was just thinking, go ahead and do, even if you have a hard time doing it. And then still continue the discussion calmly and in a proper manner.
Just remember, God looks at the heart. God said the husband, the wife, is to be in subjection to the husband. And it doesn't list a litany of things that are exceptions. And so when I stand before God, I may have had gray hair all my life from the time I was a teenager. But if I could be a good wife, have a good attitude, I'm going to stand before God a lot better justified than I am if I rebel and say, I don't care what he thinks. I'm going to dye my hair. I'm going to do what I want. He doesn't understand, and he's never going to understand. So I'm going to do what I want to do. What kind of approval are you going to get from God when you stand before God? So remember, it's not the outward appearance that God's looking at. And God is the one who wants to please, not man, not ourselves. You know, there are things that God requires of us sometimes that we have no clue. No, beginning from baptism. You know, you talk to people about baptism. Why do you have to be dunked in water? I don't understand that. And I've had women say, why did God make the man? Why do I have to be in subjection to a man? I don't know. I'm not God. I didn't make those rules. But just like we can't change baptism because somebody doesn't understand it, I can't change being in subjection to my husband just because I don't understand why he made this particular decision.
Tammy, will you close it? You pray.
Thank you, Lord, for this day, how we're gathered together and helping us communicate and help each other out and grow even stronger. Help us to be strong and live throughout this day.